Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Pleil. Lucky to have a nice full studio today. We've got James Hill and Keith Melrose joining us, as well as Niall O'Reilly on the line from Paddy Power. And it's Newbury's big day. The ITV4 action understandably focusing on the Berkshire track. The Betfair Hurdle is the big betting race of the day. We're going to get into more detail on that just a bit later on. But let's start off with the first of the ITV races at Newbury. It's the 150, the Betfair Bet in Play Handicap Hurdle, over 3 miles, and some interlocking form here with a lot of these. One for the team, Vive La Loire. Anytime we'll do Dolphin Square, second, third, fourth and fifth in a race at the track earlier on this season. So it should be a very competitive affair. Niall, can you run us through your betting?
Yeah, I can do. One for the team is our 11-4 favourite. Dalton Square is 5-1. Vive La Loire is 6-1. And Chi is 6-1. Anytime we'll do 6-1 and 7-1 bar.
How do you assess this bunch, Keith? Who do you think is going to come out on top?
I think you mentioned about that one piece of form that they all tie in with. There is a horse in here that has probably a stronger piece of form from earlier in the season. But at Haydock, you know that the old fixed brush race is always one of the best handicaps of the season. And I think AC Milan is worth another shot, because, you know, last time he ran at Chepstow on Welsh National Day, floundered on the ground, I thought, as much as anything. He keeps quite low to the ground when he strides, and I wonder if heavy ground's really what he's after. He's got form in softer ground, but Chepstow heavy in the depths of winter can just be that rung above. Obviously, that Haydock run was very pleasing. You know, he got picked up late on in that race by Stony Mountain, but I don't think you could say he hadn't stayed. He maybe got racing a bit further out than ideal, but he stays 3 miles. And at Sevens Bar that Niall's got him there, I think he's worth a go.
Okay, that's interesting. He's always been quite frustrating for me in the past. I always think maybe he perhaps should have won when he hasn't, but you think the ground was a key factor last time?
I think it stopped him last time, yeah, sure. He was backed like the feet was out of the question once again. He's that sort of horse, yeah, a little bit. Regal Encore used to be like that when he first came through, and it's only as he's got older he started winning the races he should have for the same yard. And
Wouldn't be put off by his record of sort of placing and not delivering on the big day?
I've not seen any signs that, I mean, a horse like that, it piques your interest and your suspicion. I've not seen anything about him that makes me think he's particularly funny. So, you know, it certainly merits further investigation, but I had a look and couldn't see anything, so.
Okay. Maybe he'll go off slightly bigger price, as you say, because he's disappointed punters in the past. Jimmy, who's your fancy?
I'll go for Vive La Loire, Mads. I'm going to look at that race at Newbury back in November. He's better off of a few of these, including one for the team. I know he's a nine-year-old, so he's one of the more older horses in the race, but I think 2 9-year-olds have won this race in the last 4 years, so that bodes well for him. And we know he likes the course. Two of his three best racing post ratings have been on his two runs at Newbury. So he acts well around here. I expect him to put up a good show.
Yeah, often goes from the front, doesn't he, Vive La Loire? Quite an enthusiastic racer. Niall, a cracking race to start us off with.
Yeah, the one I like is Enchia, who takes a big step up in trip from 2 miles to 3 miles. I just definitely think he's well handicapped. Like, if you watch that race he ran at Cheltenham the last day, he was just about to make his move and he made a bad mistake at the second last, but he shaped quite well up to that point. He obviously had a decent break. He must have got injured or so. He was off the track for a long time, but I thought he showed enough on that to tell me he's well handicapped at 133. He's already got form over 2.5 miles and heavy grain at Cheltenham, so I think there's plenty of indications to say that he will stay at 3 mile. Yeah, just at the prices he's won for me. I think he's 6-1 at the moment.
Yeah, I must admit, I was very interested in him last time after he had that first run back from injury. Quite a big injury it was. And as you say, he made that mistake, didn't he? Interesting to see how he runs. We'll move on to the 225 then. This is the Win Bigger on the Betfair Exchange Chase, but a lot of you will know it as the Game Spirit, and it should see, fingers crossed, the return of Altior. 2017-2018 winner wasn't run last year, I don't believe, due to the equine flu, but this race has been a really good guide in recent years as well. Seen some top winners. Different dimension to the field to what he has faced in quite a long time. Obviously stepping back to 2 miles, but so Royals in there. He's also got the likes of Dynamite Dollars returning, Kalashnikov, Bundoran. So he could well face a little bit more of a different challenge to what is usually the case. What are you expecting for him on his return, Keith?
Well, what you're expecting from him is the big question in this race, because the narrative has taken over the form, I think, since November when he ran behind Surname. That was a perfectly good run. You know, people say he didn't look like the horse stepping up in trip, but he never did when he was running over 2 miles. That's how he's tended to race sort of all through his career. It could be that it's not about speed, it's just more about how he races. And his form isn't as bad as people are making out. He doesn't have to do as much recovering as is being made out. So having been somebody who's been against Altior and trying to get him beat all his career, I now find myself defending him. I think that, you know, the field does set a decent standard. You know, there's going to probably be a 160 performance behind him, probably. And on that basis, if he comes through and he smacks these about a little bit, he's well in the picture again for the champion chase. It is a fascinating race and one to watch, though. I was a big fan last year of Dynamite Dollar, so I'm really going to look forward to how he shapes as well.
Mm. One of the guys in our office says Altior will need to be at his best to win. Will he?
No.
No.
If he's within £10 of his best, he'll win by 6 lengths.
Yeah, exactly. What price can we get about Altior and the rest if punters are wanting to find some each-way value?
Yeah, so currently he's 4-9 favourite. Matty Scorial is 15-2. Dynamite Dollar's 8-1. Kalashnikov 8-1. Pundoran 11-1. And 25-1 Simply Ned.
Anything to add to that, Jimmy? Because we have got some interesting horses in here, the likes of Kalashnikov and Dynamite Dollar's.
Yeah, interesting runners, but I don't think Dynamite Dollar's has got the form to trouble Altior. Last season's 2 mile novices weren't great. I mean, Kalashnikov needs further anyway. So, you're talking about Altior having £15 and more in hand of the rest of them, if you take Kalashnikov out. So I think it should be straightforward for Altior, providing he's over that run at Ascot. I see no reason why he wouldn't be. And it would be a massive disappointment if he doesn't win this. Really, he has to if he's going to book his ticket for Cheltenham. So, okay. Let's hope so.
And talking about Cheltenham, Keith, would you have Altior as the one to beat in the champion chase now, even though Defi Desoy and Chacun Pourceaux have improved forward this season?
I was hoping to not be asked that question until after this race. After this race, I'm pretty sure I'll have my champion chase picture in my head. I don't want to really draw that up until I've seen what Altior's got at 2 miles.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair comment. Let's move on to a similar race in shape then, in that it's all going to be about one horse. That's at 3 o'clock. It's the Betfair Denman Chase and Native River. Again, 2017 and 2018 winner of this race faces Might Bite, his old foe, but he's not been anything like in form he used to be. Niall, Native River, he's going to be a very short price favourite, isn't he?
Yeah, Matty, he's 3-10. Might Bite is 6-1. Secret Investor 8-1. Activial 25-1. We'll just say 25-1 bar.
Okay, so Secret Investor, perhaps one that people might be interested in just because he's not properly exposed at this level. But Native River, Jimmy, would you be expecting him to have a pretty easy time of it round here?
Very easy time, Mads. We know he loves Newbury. I mean, he's unbeaten at Newbury over fences. He should win this with his eyes closed, really. It's very disappointing opposition. Might Bite apart. I mean, he's got £19 and more in hand of the rest of them. And if he puts up a performance like he did at Aintree, I expect daylight between him and the rest of the opposition. Blinkers certainly seem to work.
Yeah, they seem to help at Aintree. Do you think that was a performance of the old Native River?
It was hard to say, wasn't it? Because Black Corton was his only real rival and he was sort of the accepted things at quite an early stage with him. You can imagine Blinkers being the sort of thing that does perk up Native River now he's 10, because he's always been a horse that you feel has to go as fast as he can all the way through. That's the only sort of slightest of caveats tomorrow, isn't it? It's going to be slightly better ground, probably, unless they get a lot of rain, than he is used to. And for that reason, you know, that's he needs to be going as fast as he can all the way around, but he should do this easily. He's got so much in hand over the rest, and you're looking at a forecast option as a bet, really, aren't you?
Mm. I think he's quite a big price for the Gold Cup at the minute as a previous winner. What do you think of that?
Well, absolutely, I agree. The bet in this race is probably Native River for the Gold Cup in advance, because he will win, assuming barring mishap, he'll win on the bridle or as close to on the bridle as Native River tends to get. And he'll be cut from 12s, 14s into 10s, 11s. And for doing what? For beating the two amigos.
Exactly.
So if you want, you can get a lot of NRNB now about Native River for the Gold Cup. You're not getting four places yet, I had a check. And I think each way for the Gold Cup for him in advance of this race is a good play.
Yeah, we'll go over to Niall in a minute and ask about some of the other markets, because people are probably going to be looking at distances and without markets. But it is interesting that you mentioned the two amigos, because you had some thoughts on him.
I did a little bit. Now, it might be one of these mad crackpot theories, but, you know, something's got to finish second here to Native River, and they're all much of a muchness. I'm not sure about Secret Investor getting the trip. Might Bite, I think he's gone. So you're looking at something there, that a bit of a price that can run in, and the two amigos is going to be put in the race. He's a front runner. a lot of the rest might not be able to lay a glove on Native River and might not get anywhere near him, whereas the Two Amigos is the one that is going to race all the way through. He shaped relatively well in the Welsh National. He jumped the last fence within three lengths of the lead. So, you know, that's probably 145-ish form. That's good. That could be good enough for second in this. And he's out with the 25s bar. He's out with the rags. So I might be way off with this one, but it's just one of these horses that might end up finishing second at a massive price.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think Newbury's quite a good track for Native River because it's testing, but it gives him the opportunity to wind things up from a long way out and make the most of his stamina.
It's a galloper's track, isn't it? That's exactly what Native River is. And who knows, he may have won more than one Gold Cup if the Gold Cup had been run at Newbury rather than Cheltenham, because certainly the first year he ran at the Gold Cup, he was just out pace, wasn't he? It was almost like it was too sharp for him. I know that's hard to say about the new course, but Newbury really is an out-and-out galloper's track, and he seems to love it round there. So I'm expecting a good display. The Gold Cup, he's not really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a young, improving chaser. He's had some hard races, and I can't really see him doing it again at Cheltenham, but I could certainly see him winning Welsh on Saturday.
Yeah, exceptional horse, really, isn't he? Won a Hennessy when it was called that Welsh National Gold Cup. Perhaps, you know, a lot of people maybe don't give him the credit he deserves. Niall, any thoughts to add? Any markets worth mentioning?
I was looking for the without market there, but it turns out we don't have it on site just yet, but it'll be available by the time this podcast comes out. The event to add, look, it's not really a betting race when you see Mike Bites in there as second favourite and Native River's 3-10. In terms of the Gold Cup, he's not one I'd be having at the age of 10, needing soft ground to be given much of a chance for me as well. So, look, it's just a watching race tomorrow, but I wouldn't be siding with you and backing him for the Gold Cup, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it'll be good to see him, won't it? From one race that perhaps isn't very competitive to one that almost certainly is, it's the 3:35. I mentioned it at the top of the show. The Betfair Hurdle, one of the best, most competitive handicap hurdles, valuable as well. Over 2.5 miles, been won by some real greats in the past. Even this year, maybe it could be a stepping stone to champion hurdle glory. Who knows? Not so sleepy, of course. He's the one I'm talking about. Won the Betfair Exchange Handicap Hurdle by 9 lengths last time. He is going to run, we think, at this stage. And the race does revolve a lot around him, as much as some promising horses elsewhere in the market. Niall, he is still your favourite, I presume.
Yeah, we're paying 6th place in this race, Maddie, which is definitely needed. Not so sleepy is our 9-2 favourite. Mac Mann is 6-1. Banner King Rebel is 7-1, Never Adapt 8-1, CL Dinage 10-1, Oakley 11-1 and 12-1 Bear.
It's interesting you mentioned that 6th places, Keith, because beforehand we were talking about this race and I couldn't believe how competitive it was. I mean, you could back, 3-4 horses with that 6th place bonus and not even hit it.
Yeah, you could close your eyes, put your finger down on the paper and you've hit an interesting horse in this race, haven't you?
Yeah.
It is one of the most competitive races I've seen in a long time. You won't get festival handicaps as competitive as this. So anybody that thinks they've found a certainty hasn't been looking hard enough as far as I'm concerned. I think it is a very, very difficult race. The one that I thought hasn't had the coverage he maybe deserves in the run-up to it that I'll just mention is Ciel de Neige. He has run 3 times for Willie Mullins. The first one, he was 3rd in the Boodles last March. And then on his return, he was 4th, shaping pretty well in a Grade A handicap hurdle at Fairy House in December there. And last time, he was below form, but he should have won. He was unlucky not to win. And, you know, the fact he's been turned over at 1-4 is going to put people off. But he would have won that race in fairer circumstances. My slight concern is that he might need a little bit further in time. But in a race where there are so many really interesting sorts, I couldn't get particularly carried away with anything. But he is one that I would say, just don't forget about him because I think he can run a big race.
And the fact that Willie Mullins is sending him over from any amount of horses that he could send over. I think he had Blue Rouge, who was placed in Kalashnikov's Betfair a couple of years ago. How much importance would you place on him choosing him as the one, if you like?
It's probably quite important. I think it's the ownership as much as anything. Never Adapts in there, isn't it? That's the ostensible McManus first string. And the idea that he's got Willie Mullins to send one over in a race where he's also got Never Adapt is quite an endorsement, I think. I don't know why it's been done like this. Do they think Ciel de Neige wants a bit of better ground? I've not seen much evidence for that, but it might be behind the thinking. I don't quite know, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, Jimmy, who do you want to talk about mainly? I mean, we could sit here for hours discussing this race, but I'll let you take the floor with your main selection.
Well, you're right, we could talk for ages about it. I'm really keen on one here, though, despite it being a seriously competitive race, because novices have such a good record, and Stolen Silver, I think, of the novices, has got the best form. Grade two winner at Haydock last time. despite not really jumping a hurdle. I mean, that's what impressed me. I thought he was much the best horse in the race. By all means, have a saver on the Banner King Rebel, who I think is as much as £12 better off with Stolen Silver. But if Stolen Silver gets his jumping together, I think we'll see a hugely improved performance. And the trainer Nigel Twiston Davis has won this 3 of the last 6 years. So the stable have a great record. And I think he'll go very close indeed.
Yeah, Splash of Ginge, Ballyandy Owl, Dancer, recent winners for the trainer. Keith, what were you going to add?
I was going to say, are you at all concerned about a horse that's jumped poorly in a small field going into a big one? Over fences, that would definitely concern me. Over hurdles, obviously, there's a bit of sort of leeway there. But what do you think of that one?
Well, I think they probably would have taken that into account. And they would have schooled him very well since Haydock. I think probably it was the ground that was actually the issue at Haydock. It was very, very sticky. I mean, when it's heavy there, horses, you just don't like it. Just don't tend to jump well at all. So I'm not really that concerned about the field size. Sam will give him plenty of daylight, I'm sure, if there is a problem early on. But if he can get him into a rhythm and get him jumping well, I mean, that is an if, because it was a problem last time. I am expecting a much improved display and him to outrun his odds.
And novices recently have a very, very good record in this race, Keith. Personally, I'm not sure if this year they're that strong. Obviously, we have no way of knowing yet. What's your thoughts on the novices as a whole?
Well, I was saying this earlier, actually. The novice division, of course, is very strong if you're looking at the Supreme and whatnot and what they're competing against. The novices' record in this race is probably a reflection of the fact this is the first time they'll be asked to go into open company, certainly the graded quality ones. And therefore, they come in with that unexposed profile. The first time they take on the older horses, it's a little bit, it's not like the Eclipse, but in the same sense that that's when the three-year-olds meet the older horses.
Do you think the handicapper treats them a bit leniently at this stage?
The two-mile handicap hurdles are rated in a way that I couldn't make sense of if I had a bottle of absinthe beside me. The juveniles in particular, because they're harder. But sometimes the two mile hurdlers, there's ratings that come out that I can't quite fathom, to be quite honest with you.
In what way?
Well, horses get given really, really high ratings for winning bad races. They do. I think there's a lot of a defence mechanism there to stop them being taken for a ride when I would like to see a little bit more creativity and just the odd chance taken with some of these handicaps. It's over 2 miles, and you see it more with 2 mile hurdlers than with any division, really.
So would you be against the Banner King Rebel, Stolen Silver and the others?
No, not particularly. The Banner King Rebel, obviously, as he has looked relatively good, it's been in much worse ground than this. But we've talked about this race already, how competitive it is. I'm not ruling any of these horses out. You know, these are unexposed horses that can keep going forwards. You're having to be extremely harsh with horses and how you treat them in this race, I find, because there are so many that are interesting.
Yeah. And what about Mac the Man? He's one towards the top of the market we've not discussed yet. 2 from 2 this season. Got form with Lightly Squeeze, another runner, and then Protectorate as well. Jimmy, what do you think of Mac the Man? Looked very good at Sandown, I thought.
Yeah, well, his form's worked out very well, and he's got a nice lightweight. Yeah, he's another interesting runner. As Keith said, there are so many interesting runners in this race. But I just think a horse like Stolen Silver has proven that he's just got that touch of class. And as I've mentioned before, if he can just improve his hurdling, I'm expecting a much improved display. So he just stands out for me, with the exception of Not So Sleepy, who we know is a very good horse on the flat. And if he can transfer the way he runs at Ascot to this more galloping circuit, he's obviously got to be a big danger too.
Okay.
We talk about the record of novices. I can't remember off the top of my head. The novices that tend to win this race, have they already run in graded races a lot of the time?
I think if you look at Kalashnikov, Ballyandy...
Did Al Dancer not run in a graded
Dancer,
race?
Yeah. I think they did. I think that's what I'm saying. These are novices that have already had a go in good races a lot of the time.
Certainly Twister sources, I think, have. The other thing, Keith, I just think these novices this year are seriously good.
Yeah,
I think they're seriously good.
Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. I meant just those two rather than the picture as a whole, but they're a good bunch, aren't
they? His other runner, Sir Valentine, has got a chance, hasn't
Indeed.
It? I mean, lower down the weights. I mean, he ran very well at Ascot. It's a very hot race, but yeah, Stolen Silver's the one for me.
Whoever you're picking, you're likely to be in with a chance there. And Niall, who's your fancy?
I'm very keen on one here, and I know you mentioned it there, the Banner King Rebel. He's officially £4 well in the figure, so I actually think he's a lot more in hand than that. I think Jimmy mentioned he's something like £12 swing at Stolen Silver. Like, if you were to watch that race back, I know you're saying Stolen Silver didn't jump, but the Banner King Rebel travelled all over them. Just lost momentum going into the last, was a little bit slowly away, got hampered up the run-in, I thought he was much the best in that race, and I definitely think he'll reverse form at Stolen Silver here. Even I know people crab National Hunt times using them for evaluating form, but just in the same card, Ballyandy and Pentland Hills obviously ran over the same distance, and the times compared very well. They're actually nearly identical overall. From the third last to line, there wasn't a huge amount of difference. Ballyandy's rated 155, and he was carrying 5 pence less than the Bannocking Rebel. So it's just another angle at the same that the Bannocking Rebel is well handicapped up 141. Actually, just reading Keith's piece there on front runners in this type of race, he's a prominent runner. He doesn't need to lead, but he's going to sit prominently, which I think will suit here. Yeah, I think he's very well treated. I think he's 8-1 or so. I think he's a very good each way bet.
Okay, I know connections have always thought a great deal of him. Perhaps this will be the day that he can shine. Talk about promising novices. There's going to be more of that after this.
So does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Elsewhere on ITV, tomorrow is Warwick, and they've got their big meeting with the Kingmaker Novices Chase. That's at 2:05, a grade two over 2 miles, and some interesting form lines here. I mentioned those promising novices, and Nube Negra was second in the Henry VIII at Sandown. We haven't seen him since then. We've got Precious Cargo and Moonlighter. Their form ties in together, as well as the second from the Wayward Lad at Christmas, Rouge Vif. So be interesting to see who the lads think is going to come out on top here. Who does the market think is going to come out on top first off, Niall?
Well, currently Nube Negra's are 6-4 favourite. Precious Cargo's 130, Rouge Vif 130, Moonlighter 7-1, Perpillo 7-1, and Jingle is 16-1.
Okay, not often this race has a real good impact on the Arkle at Cheltenham, Keith, but these are some really talented horses. Interesting that we've not seen Nube Negra since Sandown. What do you make of that?
I think it's absolutely fine. If you had watched that Sandown race and then said to Dan Skelton, right, Dan, you've got an Arkle horse now, what are you going to do with it? He'd have told you right away, Kingmaker and then Arkle. Because that's he sends a lot of horses to Warwick. It's sort of his style. You know, give him a short break, get him into the Kingmaker and then go to the Arkle. So I am not concerned in the slightest about the route he's taken. In fact, I think it will be very, very deliberate. I think this is a rare occasion for me where I think getting tucked into the favourites actually a good call. I think that Henry VIII form is by clear water, the best form on offer here. The fact that it was won by a 14-1 shot, I'm not particularly concerned about that. I think that was a really good piece of form, and that he fully deserves to be around 6-4 like he is.
I really like Esprit de Large, the winner of that race. Be interesting to see when he runs again. I think Evan Williams probably trotting a similar path.
Going straight to the Arkle, I think.
Very interesting.
I think that horse is more of a 2.5 miler in time. That's the only thing. In the Kingmaker, I would probably back Nube Negra to reverse form. He's a speedier horse.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say. We talk about this a lot, but I would say Warwick is a challenging jumping test for novices, isn't it? I mean, we say it about any track, but those fences down the back, there's a lot of them. They ask a specific question. Do you think that's good for a novice to sort of prove they can cope with that before they go to Cheltenham?
It's actually very similar, I think, to Sandown in a lot of ways. It tests... The fences aren't particularly scary, but they test a horse that can meet the fence right. If you meet the first one wrong down the five at the back at Warwick, you tend to meet them all wrong. And at Sandown's a little bit the same, especially the railways. And that was one of the most impressive things I thought about Nube Negra in the Henry VIII. He missed, I think, the first of the railways, but came straight back on the bridle. He's obviously got a really, really good engine. And having already done it at Sandown, I think he's as well prepared as he can be for Warwick.
And he's speedy as well, isn't he? And you need that round Warwick where they're constantly turning. Jimmy, I mean, Nube Negra, would he be the one to beat for you as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I agree with every word that Keith said there. And I'd add to that, he'll prefer this better ground and he'll prefer going left-handed too. He was very impressive when he made his chase debut here in October. And this race is absolutely perfect for him. He's a real speedy sort, very, very fluent over his fences. I would say he's as good a jumper in terms of the 2 mile novices that I've seen the scenes as any of them. I think he's going to be very difficult to beat indeed.
Obviously, we're talking about before he runs tomorrow, but any chance in the Arkle as of now, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure he's going to go for the Arkle, is he? I think Aintree is the plan.
Which
would, to be honest, would suit him more.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good shot.
Is that because Cheltenham might be a little bit too testing for him? What's the reasoning behind that, do you think?
Well, I was very hopeful that they were going to go for the Arkle, but Dan Skelton ruled it out immediately after Sandown, I think, and said, no, we're going to go Kingmaker and then we're going to go to Aintree. So
he's not afraid to campaign his horses like that, is he, Keith?
Not at all. No, he's always looking at what's the most money I can win with this horse, Dan Scale. That's his MO, really. So I'm not surprised by that at all. I didn't actually know what he'd said after Sandown. So I still thought he might have gone Arco. I think it is a sensible play because the way he jumps and the way he's nippy, I think Aintree's more his track. I think he might
definitely.
Be right.
Flat, yeah.
Nice, flat, speedy track. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what do you make of this lot?
Hey, yeah, just what you were saying there. He actually didn't even bother entering in the Arco, so he's definitely not going there. But yeah,
slip up from me there.
No, you're right. I thought I'd be quite keen to take on Noob Negro here. I don't know, just I had it in my head he was Spanish bred or something and going chasing. He wasn't going to be top class. The more I looked at that Sandown form, just the more I like it. He obviously beat Grand Sansi 13 lengths that day, and a line through him, Rouge Whip, would have a lot to do for me. Their pillow was obviously a long way back, so I can't see him reversing. Again, I know I mentioned times in National Hunt racing on the last race, but here the Tingle Creek was obviously in the same card, and overall I won't bore you with the details, but it compared very well. And when you consider the Defi Desai won the Tingle Creek, he's now 2-1 favorite for the champion chase, it would make it quite keen in that form. And I actually think, as you mentioned earlier, Esprit de Large could be the value in that market, the Arkle market, 20-1. As I said, Noob Negro isn't entered, but yeah, he's definitely up to winning this, and he could definitely go on to Aintree, and I could see him winning there as well.
Okay, so quite a lot of confidence behind Noob Negro then. The 240 is the next race we're going to look at. It's the Paddy Power 31 Sleeps to Cheltenham Mares Hurdle, a listed race over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Interesting contest this, with some sort of proven older horses as well as some from absence and some coming back after recent runs. Now, run us through your market once again for us.
Yeah, Hednor Market is indefatigable, 9-4. Legends Gold is 4-1. Shitty Diamond is 9-2. Copper's Gone West is 11-2. Coded Message 13-2 and 8-1 bar.
Keith, what do you think about this one then?
I wish that there'd been a little bit more chance taken on the prices of Chitty Diamond, to be honest. It's a very, very open race, this one. And I thought she was one that you might want to just take a bit of a flyer on. People will see that she's got form with Fusil Raffles in France. I watched that race back this morning. It was your standard French race, sprint from two out, and she was better placed than Fusil Raffles. But she did shape like more of a stayer, and she's over 2.5 on this first run in Britain for Skelton. She's obviously had injuries, and there will be an element of, there might be a bit of see what we've got about it. But I think it's a very open race. I don't think the standard's very high, even for a listed mares race. And she could have been one worth taking a flyer on. I was hoping for a bit better than 9-2.
Okay, indefatigable, interesting one. She's had quite a lot of racing this season. Started off with the Silver Trophy at Chepstow, Jimmy second at Sandown last time. What do you think of her chance?
She'd be my pick, simply because the ground's much more in her favour than it has been in her last couple of runs this season. But they've still been quite good on the racing post ratings. I know she's been beaten a fair way in some of them, but in terms of RPRs, I think they've been some of her best performances. But Paul Webber's horses, they just improve for better ground. And she was very impressive, well, I say very impressive, impressive when she won at Cheltenham last April. She beat the Colbank, who was then rated 136, 10 lengths, won comfortably. So if she's in that sort of form again, looking at this opposition, I think she'll just have the class edge over them.
Yeah, she's very consistent, isn't she? Now, we've not mentioned Legends Gold yet. Who's your fancy? Have you anything to add about her?
Just that she definitely has a chance. The thing about Indefatigable, I don't know, I've just been watching her travel through races and in that small field in Wetherby that Lady Buttons won. She didn't travel at all. She didn't travel at all last time. I think she might need a really strong pace, and the big field handicap seemed to suit her quite well.
Sorry to butt in there, Noel. Did you not think that was a ground at Wetherby? It was quite soft that day.
It could well be. I had it in my head before I went to talk, and when you mentioned that, I was just looking at it, and yeah, that's probably a decent point. She had plenty of form and good to soft grain, so some of the races time from had it soft, so I'm not 100% sure there. But yeah, that's a good point. If I was forced to have a bet here, I'd probably back Coded Message. He's been very progressive this season. Last time ran really well behind Magical Eye, travelling right up to the second last, but just getting found for a bit of quality towards the end. I don't think this is as strong as that, so yeah, that's Coded Message for me.
Okay, maybe this contest isn't the strongest, but one that's definitely a bit better is the 3.15, the Paddy Power from the Horse's Mouth, Warwick Castle Chase. Some old friends in here, Bellamy depict on Two Tafts and Gala Ball, all have shown a good level of form previously. Keith, I know there's one that you're pretty keen on in this, so take the lead.
Yeah, well, I do really quite fancy Two Tafts in this race. We talked about, you mentioned it was a good race, and it is a good race. It's a Saturday handicap on ITV, but it's not the Ladbrokes Trophy, is it?
It's not.
And that was the race two taps, and it's not the West Yorkshire Hurdle, which is the race two taps ran in the time before. That was those are his only two runs since he came off a big break. And both times he's gone through the race really well, like a horse that's basically retained all his ability. It was quite obvious that 3 mile 2 was too far for him last time at Newbury. He jumped 4 out, going just about as well as anything, but then pretty quickly went out of it. Back at 2.5 miles round Warwick, you know, I have no. It's a slightly lesser race, and I have no problem with this being a stepping stone to something, because Dan Skelton does often target the more valuable races at Warwick. So you can imagine this being a bit of a plan. He's given him 10 weeks, which for a fragile horse is a really interesting thing. I always like to see a horse that's had issues. I don't like to see them having runs back to back very quickly. Two Taps has just been given that bit of time. He's been dropped, I think, £3 for the Ladbrokes Trophy. And back over 2 mile 4 could just, I just really quite fancy him.
Mm. He's always used to be a strong traveller, didn't he?
Yeah, he's always been a strong traveller. And he's probably always been more of a 2.5 miler. He won a listed handicap at Ayr before he had his long absence. He is probably more a horse that suits that sort of trip.
Okay, what price can we get about 2 Taps now?
He's 7-2, and I'm actually going to row in behind Keith. Similar notes, I'll not repeat everything. He was obviously very eye-catching, that Ladbrokes Trophy. I think turning for home, he's the one that would have caught your eye. Just didn't stay. Previous to that, had run really well behind the World's End. This trip should definitely suit, and I think he'll round off a good day for the Skeletons up at Warwick.
Okay, fabulous. Are you going to make it 3 from 3?
I'm not, I'm afraid. he was a horse I certainly looked at, 2 Taps, but I'm just going to side with Bellamy de Picton. I'm just going to
similar
think,
type in a way.
Very similar type. You know, Keith talks about, he doesn't like seeing horses who've been off for a while having two runs back to back. I'm therefore prepared to forgive Bellamy de Picton his effort at Ascot. He had a very hard race at Cheltenham, had a rough ride round. I'm sure he would have been prepared pretty strongly for that bet victory at Cheltenham, where he ran very well. I think it was only his second run there in 740 days, so he really hadn't seen the racetrack for a long time. Hopefully he's now got over that effort at Ascot and Cheltenham, and he'll be in much better shape here. He's £2 lower than he was in the bet victor, and I think cheap pieces are being applied for the first time as well, so he's interesting.
Okay, superb. We've got the ITV action, but there's also racing elsewhere tomorrow. Any other strong fancies beside your naps? So keep your powder dry ahead of that. Keith, where have you been looking for other bets?
It was only Utoxeter, really. I'm not going to be looking at the all-weather particularly or Ireland for my smaller bets. I'm actually going a little bit lower than I normally would. I normally focus on sort of slightly better chases. But there's a 77 rated horse running at Utoxeter tomorrow called Hollow Park, which on its reappearance shaped pretty well at Southall. And then last time at Taunton, went wide all the way round and was only beaten sort of 10 lengths in the end. Bred to actually be a half-decent staying chaser. And that's in, I think, is it the 232? It's I can't remember the end
non-standard
digit.
Race
Yeah, the non-standard race times are really messing with me. I think it's the 232.
Okay, if you want to have a check, we can come back to you. Niall, any fancies elsewhere on Saturday?
Yeah, I just have one really strong one, and it was close to being my nap. I'm just not sure what price it's going to be. So in the 410 at Newbury, present value for Evan Williams. He's stepping up 3 miles for the first time, which is something I've been waiting for. And he's off a mark of 128, which I'm certain he's well handicapped off. He's related to the brilliant, well, I think he's a half brother to the brilliant Paisley Park. So he's stepping up from 2 mile 3 to 3 mile for the first time. So knowing that he's related to Paisley Park, you'd think it would definitely suit. Evan Williams has had a really good season. He's been in form nearly the majority of it. So I think this horse could definitely give him another winner. And I think he could end up a Welsh national type for next year. That's present value for 10 Newbury.
Very interesting, then. A long-term suggestion from Niall. Jimmy?
A horse called Ask Himself, who runs in the 130 at Warwick. He could be quite nicely treated, I think. He's ran against some horses earlier in the season who he finished second to, both now rated in the mid-120s. And Ask Himself is now for 117. I think there isn't, whilst this is the fastest ground he's run on. He's been running on pretty soft ground through his career. But just looking at his pedigree, I don't see any reason why a better surface wouldn't suit him. Ask, his sire, seems to have plenty of progeny who run well on decent ground. So Ask Himself, I'm hoping, will do the same at Warwick.
OK, have you got a time for us?
I do. It is a 2.32, I was right. I also have a fancy running in the 3.42, which is another funny time. It's just making my life more difficult.
What do you think of these non-standard race times?
You know, I'll get used to it. I'd rather had one less digit to remember. But, you know, that's not a big issue in the grand scheme of things, is it? So if it is a positive and stops race clashes, then I'll take it, because it's causing me only very minor irritation.
I know Richard Birch is not a big fan at all.
Of course Birchie doesn't like it. It's new, isn't it? Of course Birchie doesn't like it. The other one I quite like, the 342 is destined to shine for Kerry Lee. I thought he caught my eye really last time he ran at Doncaster, made a massive move out wide into the straight from, I think he was last jumping, approaching five out, and he jumped four out in second. And he couldn't maintain that all the way to the line. 2 miles on softer ground might be more his thing. He's been dropped a couple of pounds again since, and yeah, he was very interesting for me.
Okay, let's get those all-important naps now then.
This will not be beaten.
On a very competitive and informative Saturday, Jimmy, who is your best bet?
Well, it was going to be Nubi Negra and the Kingmaker, but he's just got too short now. So I am going to dive right in the deep end, Mads. Go for Stolen Silver in the Betfair Hurdle, 3:35 at Newbury. Twiston Davis's did me a big favour a few years back when Splash of Ginge won this. I had him at 40-1. So Stolen Silver's nothing like as big as that, but I'm hoping they're going to do me a big favour again.
You wouldn't
on Saturday.
Be going too far wrong with that combination, yeah. Keith.
A little bit like Jimmy, Nubi Negra would have been it, but he is just that little bit too short to be napping him. So I'll go for the other skeleton chaser at Warwick, 2 Tafts.
Okay, fantastic. And Niall?
Yeah, like James in the 3:35 Newbury, I'm going for it with the Banner King Rebel.
Okay.
Not two of the three naps in the Betfair Hurdle.
I know.
We spent 10 minutes talking about how competitive
that was. I didn't think anyone was madder than me. Well, maybe you're thinking I'm madder than you.
We like the bravery. Best of luck with whoever you're tipping in the Betfair Hurdle, and we'll see you again after break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back then to the final section of this Friday tipping postcast, and there will be some more selections coming your way courtesy of Punchestown on Sunday. There's a very good cross-country chase which could be interesting, might have a bearing on matters at the festival. But the race we're going to talk about is the 4:25. It's the Boar Sports Grand National Trial. Been won again by some proper top class staying chasers. This, Keith, who's your fancy?
Right, I'm going to run up to this one. It's a horse that's name I struggle with a little bit. It's Cheb de Kervenue. It's called Cheb de Kervenue.
Okay.
It is a Munir Suede owned horse on its third run for Gordon Elliott. See, that's why it's only had two runs so far in this country. That's why I'm not used.
We'll forgive you.
Exactly. By the time it wins a Gold Cup, I'll be there. I'll know what it is. It's not going to win a Gold Cup, unfortunately. But it has, when it's run twice over 3 mile, 3 mile one, looked like a horse that wants a real test. And last time, I don't think it got the very, very best of rides from Patrick Mullins. He went from travelling to plodding, which probably shows he maybe didn't make his move early enough. Still finished third, a decent enough run. And his previous run to that, he also shaped like he would really thrive over 3 mile four. Rachel Blackmore's taking over. That is a jockey uplift. She's a fantastic rider. And I think he, right at the bottom of the weights, is one of the less exposed ones in this field.
Okay, Jimmy?
Well, just looking at the stats of this race, I don't think anything's won it above 11 stone in the last 10 years. So I wouldn't fancy a Pleasant Company on that basis. JP McManus, he's got four runners. I think the one that would interest me most is Killer Miller, who I'm going to side with. He won the Porterstown at Fairy House earlier in the season, staying on nicely. I know he's an 11-year-old, but he was always well thought of as a youngster. And they've got cheek pieces on for the first time. So I'm going to be interested to see how he goes.
Okay, and Niall, finally.
I'm going to put one up at what I presume will be a massive price. It's a Gun Digger for Gordon Elliott. Now, he's had an absolutely woeful season. Though he did show a little bit more at Leopardstown last time in the Paddy Power. And he comes here with a very similar profile to last year's easy winner, Dunikos. He changes headgear from a visor to cheek pieces, which might spark something. And he's off a very low mark. I think he's running off 129. Having gone off a short enough price in the Irish National last year of 139. So he's £10 lower. And he's got a claimer who I know very little about called Jordan Williams, taking off an additional 7. So he's really running up a featherweight. If he doesn't show something here off this type of mark, then he's probably worth giving up on. But I'm going to take a chance if he's a big price, which he will be at it.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for your selections. Worth bearing in mind, there's a good card at Exeter on Sunday as well, but it is subject to an 8 a.m. inspection. So just checking if you weren't aware of that. That's all we've got time for today. If you have any fancies for tomorrow's racing, make sure to let us know in the comments and rate, review and subscribe as per usual. And I'll be back with the team on Monday to review the action. See you then.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.